Okay, excuse me. Good evening, everyone. Last night we were discussing the stovetops. I hope I can be heard. I'm getting a message that someone can't hear me. Okay, we were discussing the stovetops, and we mentioned about koshering the ones that are regular gas range, or an electric, the old style electric where you have electric coils. Regular coils, not covered by any glass or anything. Just so we mentioned that the way to kosher those. Now, I do want to add that whenever you're koshering these, you should also wash around and take off the pieces, all the pieces from each burner, the trays there, the drip pan, I think they call it, and whatever's there should be taken and washed and scrubbed very carefully and cleaned for chametz. There could be could be actual food down there, so. It should be cleaned out very well around the whole area, and then kashered the way we described last night. Now, I started to discuss the ones that are glass covered. It's very common nowadays when a person buys a new stove or rents an apartment or a house. Very often, the stove top is glass or glass slash ceramic cover, where the elements, there are electric elements underneath, but you can't even touch the elements, you can't even reach the elements, you just have this sheet of glass. It's not an ideal type of a stovetop, and if somebody's able to, is in the market for a stovetop and they can get the older style, it's certainly recommended, because these types, even year-round, if anything spills in it, it's all one glass, which could drip, it could roll and go from one pot to another and things like that, and they're not ideal, and they're not ideal for kashering, because at least for Ashkenazim don't kasher glass, not even year round, but certainly not for Pesach. In other words, according to Ashkenazic practice, glass is a substance which absorbs flavor, absorbs the tam of the meat or the milk or the chametz, and it can't be kashered. So we'll get back to this fire in a minute. And we'll get to this right in a minute. But so for the Ashkenazim, we would not kosher a glass dishes for Pesach or anything that any glass that was hot, we would not kosher for Pesach. So these stovetops, ideally, you should try to get something that goes on top of them. They make I'm told that they make certain types of pads or discs that can be placed over the area where the element is. They're specially designed. Don't just try taking any piece of rubber or plastic. That's probably be not very successful. Hopefully not disastrous, but certainly not successful. But if you have these things, I don't know if they're silicone, I don't know what they're made from, but they're specially designed to be able to sit on this glass stovetop, and you can put the pots on them. Okay, I see. If you could find them, then. That's an idea. That's a recommended idea. I don't know now. I did know a place where they were available by order. But I don't know where it is now, so I couldn't tell you. But there's also Rabbi Heineman in his Pesach book for years has been recommending using a little metal trivet, a very, very low one that's, you know, just barely raises the pot, but enough that the pot is not sitting on the glass surface, but it's close enough to the heat that your food will cook. So if you could do one of those methods, then that is a mila. If you can't, then you simply have to rely on scrubbing it very clean and turning on each element for about a half an hour. And even though we normally don't rely on koshering glass, but this is not as much of an issue as a glass cooking pan, or for example, a cooking tray, because you're not putting food directly on it. You're putting a pot on it. So there's less of a transfer of flavor, of time, from the glass to the pot than there would be from the glass to actual food. So We do rely on that when there's no other Eitzah. Now, for Sfaradim, you'd say, well, they should have no problem at all because the Sfaradim consider glass to be a substance which doesn't even absorb. And it's perfect. It's great. It doesn't even absorb, so it doesn't even have to be kosher. It could be used as is. However, according to the CRC booklet, in the notes written by Rav Daniel Raka, who is a dayan in Chicago and a Sfaradish dayan and very very knowledgeable on Sfaradish halacha and Nahagim as well as other stuff, he writes there that he heard personally from Rav Avadi Yosef that it is a mixture of anything in the glass. If it's not 100% pure glass, but there's some other component to it, then all bets are off. It's no longer has the status of glass, even if it's the majority, even if it's 90% or more glass, it doesn't help if there's anything else mixed into it, and it can't be kashered. Now, okay, if there are any Sephardic listeners, I think the best consulting with their own rabbanim who could give them guidance. I would imagine it's no worse than the Ashkenazim. I mean, even the Ashkenazim will rely on this type of kashering for this type of stovetop, b'les b'reira, when there's no eitzah. But what I'm saying is that it could be for the Sfaradim not much better. It's ostensibly glass. It could be it's not much better than the Ashkenazim because he's suggesting this booklet is very likely it's not 100% glass. Okay. In any case, so whichever type of stuff if you have and you kashered it, so then it's also kedai to cover the knobs. Some people actually have an extra. Well, they still have knobs. I mean, okay, there aren't many stoves that have knobs anymore. They just have a panel, or where you touch. But at least in the old days, you may still have a stove which has knobs that you turn to turn on a separate set of knobs that we kept just for Pesach. You could replace the knobs very inexpensively, or at least you could in the days that they made them. And so we would have a special set. We would take the knobs, the regular year-round knobs off and place them with the Pesach knobs. If you don't do that, so if it's the same knobs, so touching them with your hands that are very likely have food on them and stuff drips on them and et cetera, and they're not really kasherable. And this leads me to another point, and that is that we do not kasher plastic for Pesach. And again, I'm speaking to the Ashkenazim. I can't speak for the Sfaradim on this. I didn't see in this. It sounds like the Sfaradim will kasher plastic, but Ashkenazim do not kasher plastic for Pesach. It is acceptable to kasher plastic for year-round use, but for Pesach, according to many Pesachim, for Pesach we don't. Pesach, we are more makpid on what we do or don't kasher. And for Pesach, we don't kasher plastic. Part of the idea is that year round, even if something absorbed tarfus, chazer, or it absorbed milk, and you want to use it for meat or vice versa, after 24 hours, technically any flavor that it was absorbed is no longer potent. It's no longer problematic. I mean, a Torah for sure. It's considered dead and no longer creates. It's called pogum. It's considered pogum. It's no sin tam lefgam. It doesn't enhance your food. If the flavor would go out of the keli, flavor that's more than 24 hours old would enter into your food, it wouldn't enhance the flavor of your food. It would, if anything, would detract from it. So min haTorah, that's mutter. So really, min haTorah, you don't even have to kasher a keli year-round. After 24 hours, you don't even have to kasher a keli if it's half of 24 hours unused, because that's it. Anything that it absorbed 24 hours ago is no longer relevant. It's midrabbana that we have to kasher kelim nonetheless. But the time is still pogum. The time is still not problematic. It's just the dindrabbana we have to kasher. But for Pesach, we're machmer a step further. We're machmer to treat time pogum as being real time. Even time that sat around more than 24 hours, we are machmer to consider that a problem for Pesach. Therefore, the whole kashering process is a more serious idea, a more serious process, more serious concern. So we don't kasher plastic. That is the typical Ashkenazi practice, or at least a very widespread. And for that reason, let's say, microwaved with a plastic or plastic type of inside. We would not recommend counting the glass plate for sure, not. But even the walls of it, if it's not stainless steel, we would not recommend kashering it. I personally find the kasher microwave is not an easy thing. You're supposed to, even during the year, you're supposed to kasher it by putting in a cup of water or cups of water, and you have, if it makes steam and fill up. And to me, it seems cool. I mean, is it really happening? I don't know. But so certainly for Pesach, it's not such a great idea to kasher a microwave. But if it's not stainless steel, then it's as far as the tonight's presentation, it's out of the question. Should be done. Obviously, you can't use a microwave on the Yontif days. If you live in Chutz Laaretz, you have only a maximum 4 out of 8 days that you can use it. Maybe before Pesach, if you want to make some food, but I think microwave is more used on the spot. So 4 out of the 8 days, you can't use it. And when there's a Shabbos Chol HaMoed, such as this year, it's 5 out of the 8 days. So you can only use it 3 days anyway. But so it's not the big deal. But if it really is important to you, so microwaves are not over the hill expensive. And maybe 1 year that should be a Pesach gift. But whatever it is, we don't kasher plastic. So I forgot how I got to this. Oh, because I'm talking about the knobs, which might be plastic or rubber, whatever. We would not kasher them for Pesach. But you don't eat off of them, but it's still kedai to cover them because they're in constant contact. One is in constant contact with them during the year and again on Pesach. Okay. Another thing just to mention, we'd not kasher for Pesach as a dishwasher. Dishwashers have cracks and crevices and the racks as well are so many different parts and areas. We don't kasher dishwashers for Pesach. Again, you would only be able to use it during Chol HaMoed anyway, and it's part of Pesach that we wash the dishes by hands, like Zeichlis Yis Mitzrayim, the way the mamas and the babas and the zaydas did it. So what without a dishwasher? Okay. I think we'll hold it here for now. Next week, I'm thinking maybe we'll talk about some of the yanim of the Seder and maybe some more kashrus points. I'd like to discuss kidneys a little bit, as Hashem. And again, if there are other topics that you want specifically to hear about, you could try sending them in and perhaps we'll address them. In the meantime, have a wonderful Shabbos and Kol Tov.